Hi there, this is Pastor Christeline here from Calvary City Church, and welcome to our sermon podcast. We pray as you listen to the word today, it encourages you, inspires you, and launches you into the destiny that God has for you. May you always be found in good health, and may everything that your hand touches prosper. Enjoy the sermon!
Hi, good evening everyone. Welcome to our online service. It's so good to have you joining us wherever you are, be at home, in your car, watching this, listening to it. We're so glad that you can join us online. So we've been having this online service for a very long time. I think some of us feel like, hey, we want to get back together again. We also want that to happen. But in the meantime, just stay home, stay safe, just watch out for one another. But at the same time, the Word of God will always speak to us wherever you are. Amen? Can you say amen to that? Wherever you are watching this, I hope that you have been really encountering God through our worship, encountering God through the service, through the sermons that have been shared for the past few weeks. But in the end, it is really up to us to grow spiritually in our own walk with God wherever you are. Weekend services are just here to have that booster, you know, like vaccine, you have that booster shot to be able to be going further ahead and just going a little bit more. But in the end, it is really on our own to take our walk with God seriously wherever we are. So we have been going on for this X sermon series that we have been going on for a few weeks now. And I haven't been behind the camera for so long, so it feels a bit weird for me right now. So just bear with me for a while. I'll get used to it in a while. Okay? But yeah, we have been going on for this X series. And just to have a bit of recap what I've been going through, we started off with an overview by Pastor Rajan 2 weeks ago. He was giving 5 overviews of what is the book of Acts. And you should really go and have a listen to that. If you're planning to go along with us, I really encourage every single one of you that don't just follow the Acts sermon series because it's just a sermon on Saturday and Sunday, but take your time to read through the whole book of Acts. We have split up all the sermons into different chapters. It's not one big chunk that you have to read. It's just 1 or 2 chapters every week. And also, we have started a little something on social media for you to just have a trivia, test yourself, and also remind you what are the things that you have heard on the weekend services. And also to test you, have you read all the other chapters that wasn't shared on Saturday and Sunday? So I really encourage every one of you, young or old, just take out your Bible. I was so excited when we're going to start this sermon series because it was finally something that we can kind of do as a church, you know. Just read the whole book of Acts together, all along. Not just one person going fast, one person going slow. But together, we are gradually journeying through the book of Acts to learn. So I hope that this will be something that you have cultivated in your daily prayers, daily devotions to read through and follow along the sermon series as we go along. So yeah, the overview from Pastor Rajan, go and have a look at that. It gives you really a big picture of what Acts is all about. And whatever that I'm going to share today actually kind of links to that overview because Pastor has been so thorough with that overview. Last weekend, it was Pastor Crystal and Pastor Sebastian who were sharing on Acts chapter 1 and chapter 2. Pastor Crystal was sharing about the outpouring of the Holy Spirit, really that time where the Holy Spirit came and what happened after that. The people begin to really have a voice, to hear that sound and begin to influence and begin to share everything that God has called them to do. And after that, on Sunday, Pastor Sebastian was sharing about the first church. How amazing, how the Church of Christ actually started in the beginning. Yes, there was the synagogue before that, there was everything, there was the tradition. But the church that was founded on Jesus Christ started in Acts as well. And it's really amazing how Pastor Sebastian was sharing about this unstoppable church that started in that time. And to just give an idea of what I'm going to share today, are we going to go back to Acts chapter 1 verse 8 again? Because this is really where it all started. If you read through the whole book of Acts, it started with this, the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit that comes, and then what happens after that? In what Pastor Rajan said, this is the book of Actions. The real book, what is it called? It's called the Acts of the Apostles. Because when the Holy Spirit came, and then all these things started to happen. So that's why we're going back to Acts chapter 1, and this is what it says. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, in all Judea, in all Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. And if you think about it, the whole book of Acts is just surrounding this. It started in Jerusalem with the apostles sharing, doing miracles, signs and wonders in Jerusalem. And then persecution came and they started spreading to Judea and after that to Samaria. And at the end of Acts, as we go on through this whole series, you start to see Paul going on a missionary journey through all around the places and to Rome as well. That's where it ended. And that's why this verse says, to the ends of the earth. Even right now, this is still happening. It's still not done yet. The gospel is still going out to the ends of the earth. And that is why we want to focus everything. And this is the starting point. Acts chapter 1 verse 8 is that starting point. When you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. So this, when I talk about the power of the Holy Spirit, very funny thing, the thing that came to my mind was this cartoon called He-Man. I don't know how many of you have watched He-Man before, maybe only my generation and before me. The ones that after me will never watch or know about He-Man, because you see the graphics, you understand why, how bad the quality is at that time. But He-Man and the Masters of this Universe is this cartoon, right? That he was this normal prince guy that, you know, very scrawny looking, not very big size. But he has this sword. And when he takes out this sword and he says, by the power of Grayskull, and then boom, all these things start happening. And then you see he becomes this very muscular guy, very strong. It almost seems like the power of the universe is on him. He was able to go and defeat all the enemies that he has. And then there's one thing that really caught my attention was that he has this pet, a very large cat. And this cat is called Cringer. I don't know what kind of name is that, Cringer. But this cat is very, very cowardly. He always be like hiding from danger, always shivering if you watched the cartoon before. And this cat, right, whenever He-Man does, by the power of Grayskull, and then he becomes this strong guy, he points his sword at the cat. And the cat immediately transforms into this, they call it a battle cat. He got his armor, he becomes fierce, he becomes strong, that even He-Man can sit on him and start riding and going all about. So when I think of that, it's like, wow, the power of the universe comes upon him, that even this cowardly cat also becomes part of it. And he becomes really strong, he becomes really powerful and fearless. And kind of that gives me an idea of, hey, as we read through Acts chapter 3 and 4 that I'm going to share about today, it comes this idea of boldness. And I'm going to talk about the power of the Holy Spirit that brings about boldness. What is this boldness? What does it do? We're going to go through it later on. Let's just pray before we go into the Word of God, all right? Let me pray. God, we thank you, first of all, that we have your word. We thank you that we can read through every single one of those words and to glean from it. And most of all, we thank you that you have given us the Holy Spirit to understand everything that you have taught us. And because of the power of the Holy Spirit, we are able to do things that you have called us to do. So I pray for every single person watching this right now. I pray, Lord, that your Holy Spirit will be the one that ministers to them. Not my words, not my way of doing things, not how I share this thing, but really as they read your word day by day, your Holy Spirit will minister to them. Your Holy Spirit will speak to them. And today's sharing will just be a booster for them in their walk with you. Thank you. In Jesus' name we pray. So let me repeat the title for today. The power of the Holy Spirit that brings about boldness. If you read chapter 3 and chapter 4, there's a lot of accounts of this boldness, and we're going through it one by one. So let's start with Acts chapter 3, verse 1 to 10. If you have your Bible, take it out. We're going to go through large portions of scriptures because I just want to bring you through this whole book to observe certain things and learn from the Word of God. So if you have your Bible, take it out, and you want to scribble things at the side, or if you have your notebook, just scribble it. Or if you have your phone, that works as well. But we're going to read big portions. So if You want to follow along? Just read from your Bible. So Acts chapter 3, verse 1 to 10. It says, "Now Peter and John were going up to the temple at the hour of prayer, the ninth hour, and a man, lame from birth, was being carried, whom they laid daily at the gate of the temple that was called the Beautiful Gate, to ask for alms of those entering the temple. Now, seeing Peter and John about to go into this temple, he did the same thing and asked for alms. But Peter directed his gaze at him, as did John, and said, 'Hey, look at us.' And he fixed his attention on them, expecting to receive something from them. But Peter said this, 'I have no silver and gold, but what I do have, I give it to you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk.' And he took this man by the hand and raised him up. Immediately, his feet and ankles were made strong. And leaping up, he stood and began to walk and entered the temple with them, walking, leaping, and praising God. All the people saw this man, recognized him as the one who sat at the Beautiful Gate, and they were filled with wonder and amazement of what had happened to him." Such an amazing account. This was after the Pentecost. Peter and John were going into the temple and they saw this guy. And they didn't just really see him like that, leaving him there or giving him any money or anything. But what he did, he just went there and said, "Hey, in the name of Jesus, rise up and walk." Now, I don't know if many of you remember, but I had an injury about 3 to 4 months ago, and I tore one of my ligaments in my knee. It took me about 3 months to really fully kind of get back my strength. And I went through my physiotherapy, I had to learn how to walk. Literally learn step by step. Okay, I need to tighten this muscle. Okay, I need to step down. All right. Next thing, I need to move the other leg and then balance. This is the first time that I realized, like, oh no, I've really kind of taken advantage of the fact that I know how to walk. I had to relearn everything about how to walk. And this account, this man has been crippled from birth. 40 years, if you read correctly later on. 40 years, this guy has never walked before. And this is what Peter and John came and did. Pull him up, and God, through the Holy Spirit, strengthened his legs. Immediately, he was standing up, and not just standing up and walking, he was leaping and jumping around. Oh my gosh, I don't know how that happened. Immediately, for me, when I read this scripture, it's like, I don't know how this happened. It took me 3 to 4 months to be able to walk. I can't even jump properly now. I'm jumping with one leg most of the time. Not even jogging and anything. But this guy, what the Holy Spirit did through Peter and John, picked him up, immediately started walking, immediately started leaping, and started praising God. What an amazing thing that the Holy Spirit did. And we really want to see these things happening. We want to see signs and miracles happen. But let's focus on the main thing. How come John and Peter knew what to do? And to bring us to my first point, is that the power of the Holy Spirit brings about boldness. Boldness for what? Boldness to do what God has called you to do. Boldness just to do it. Do the will of God and what the Holy Spirit has impresses on your heart. Now, if you think about it, Peter and John didn't just like suddenly, "Hey, yeah, let's do this. Let's try and see. Let's carry him up and then see what happens." No, they were bold to do it like this, in this way, because they have seen what Jesus has done before. All right? If one of the kind of the function or role of the Holy Spirit is found in John chapter 14, verse 25 and 26. And I really love this. This is why God sent the Holy Spirit. He says, "These things I have spoken to you while I am still with you. But the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all that I have said to you." So Peter and John, with the power of the Holy Spirit on them, begin to remember what Jesus had done. And I went and searched through again. Hey, has Jesus done this before? Jesus did the exact same thing in John chapter 5, verse 5 to 9. There was this man who was lying there for 38 years. He has not walked. Jesus asked him, "Do you want to be healed?" And the sick man answered him, "Sir, I have no one to put me into the pool when the water is being stirred, and I'm going to take another steps, and while I'm going, another steps down before me." But this is what Jesus said. Jesus said to him, "Get up, take up your bed, and walk." And at once, the man was healed. He took up his bed and walked. Peter and John were beside Jesus, watching this happen. They saw how Jesus did it. And now, with the Holy Spirit in them, the Holy Spirit now reminds them what Jesus has done. And now they have that boldness, they have that assurance to carry out what Jesus had done before. That's why they have that boldness, because they have seen Jesus do it. And they know that the power of that is in Jesus is within them right now because of that Pentecost that happened. Jesus said, "Wait." And they have this power within them. And they did the exact same thing. That boldness to go to this guy and say, "Hey, I don't have money for you, but what I do have, I will give it to you. Now stand up and walk." So the question for us is this: what are some things that the Holy Spirit is prompting you to do that you need that boldness to do it? Sometimes we may not know what God wants us to do. We kind of like doubt, or we kind of like hesitate. But as you remember and you look through scriptures, always check back with scriptures again. Hey, is this the will of God? Is this aligned with what the Word of God says? If it is, right, then you ask the Holy Spirit, "Give me boldness to follow what you have taught. Follow what Jesus has been doing." What are some things? Is it about sharing about Jesus to your loved ones? In this time of COVID, it's so uncertain. We may not know any time somebody can pass away. We really do not know. And we've heard many accounts of just things happen. Accidents, COVID cases. Is there somebody that the Holy Spirit is prompting within you to share Jesus to them so that they can have this eternal life? And you're feeling scared, but don't worry. The Holy Spirit is there to grant you this power to have that boldness to share. Is it connecting with your neighbors? As simple as that. Some of you may be thinking, "I don't know how to connect my neighbors in this time." Very simple. Just ask God, "God, what can I do?" Is it give them some cake that you bake? Really ask the Holy Spirit to give you this boldness to just do. Do what Jesus has called you to do. Or the last one is maybe adopting a family in need. Some may have lost their jobs. Some may have really in need in this time. And the Holy Spirit is prompting you to adopt maybe a family, just to provide for them in this season, to care for them. Sometimes it's not just giving things, you know. Sometimes it's just supporting them, checking up on them. "Hey, are you okay? Everything doing okay? Do you need any help with certain things?" All these things can be done, but we have to have that boldness, that courage, and that prompting. When you have that prompting, ask the Holy Spirit to give you that boldness to do it. So the power of the Holy Spirit brings boldness to do it. Now, as you go on reading the chapters, in chapter 3, verse 11 to 26, Peter was preaching to the people. Remember, Peter is just going there, sharing to all the people who were there. And in chapter 4, verse 1 to 12, in your own time, please read it. There's so many things within here that you can glean from. Peter and John were arrested overnight in chapter 4, verse 1 to 12. And we're going to read from chapter 4, verse 13 to 22. "Now, when they saw the boldness of Peter and John and perceived that they were uneducated, common men, they were astonished, and they recognized that they had been with Jesus. But seeing the man who was healed standing beside them, they had nothing to say in opposition." In verse 19, "So they called them, charged them not to speak or teach at all in the name of Jesus. But Peter and John answered them, 'Whether it is right in the sight of God to listen to you rather than to God, you must judge. For we cannot but speak of what we have seen and heard. And when they had further threatened them, they let them go, finding no way to punish them because of the people, for all were praising God for what had happened. My second point is this. The Holy Spirit grants us power to be bold to do it. Second one, which is a step up, is the boldness to stick with it. The miracle has been done. Peter and John were happy. They were sharing the gospel to many people. But then there was opposition that came. There was persecution that came. And in the book of Acts, you're going to see a lot of this happening. There was persecution that happened. But yet, the Holy Spirit gives us this boldness to stick with it. I mean, I wouldn't dare to tell a judge, or like Peter and John in this case, whether it is right for me to listen to you or to God. You judge, but I'm just going to keep doing what God has called me to do. How bold is that to say such things? I mean, I really admire Peter and John to be able to say such things in that situation with all the elders. They have been put into prison the night before. Next day, they were brought in a hearing, kind of like in a court with judge, all the elders looking at him. And this is why I said, it doesn't matter what you tell me, I am continuing to do what God has called me to do. Such boldness Peter and John had. And remember, this was the Peter that did something differently. Peter, before the Holy Spirit came upon him, was this guy who was very rough, but at the same time, he was very scared. In Luke 22, verse 54 to 62, you hear the account of Peter denying Jesus. It was this little girl that came to Peter and said, "Hey, you are one of those disciples that followed Jesus? Are you?" And Peter immediately was like, "No, that's not me." And then another person came and said, "Hey, you are the one of them, right?" He's like, "No, that's not me." This was the same Peter that before the crucifixion, before the outpouring of the Holy Spirit, he was this scary guy, very timid, and like even a little girl managed to really kind of make him feel scared. And now, after the outpouring of the Holy Spirit, how the Holy Spirit has filled him, he began to preach to thousands. He began to spoke up against the rulers and the elders, even when it means being arrested and threatened. If you read verse chapter 5 again in Acts, they were thrown into jail again. But yet, Peter was still this guy that says, "Hey, the Holy Spirit is within me now. I have this boldness to stick with it. Yes, I've done the miracle, I've done healing, I've preached to thousands, but yet, I'm still going to stick with it. I'm still going to believe and continue doing what Jesus has called me to do." One of the overview that Pastor Rajan was sharing is that the gospel is offensive. People will be offended by what the gospel shares, because it really is something that human mind cannot comprehend. Why would somebody give you free things? Why would somebody die for you, a person who doesn't know you, and that you are sinful? That's the most threatening thing that somebody can hear. You are sinful. You are going to hell. That kind of thoughts, you know. And the gospel is very offensive because it relies on grace. It relies on the finished work of Christ. There will be persecution, discrimination, and you'll be ridiculed when you start sharing Jesus to other people. Really, there will be. I remember going down onto campus in Singapore and we were just sharing, kind of getting a perspective with athletes of what they think about God and sports. And really, sometimes when you talk about Christ, you talk about the finished work, you talk about Jesus, they feel very offended and they're like, "Oh, no, 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 I don't want this." Or some will even go to a step and say, "Hey, don't talk to me about all this, I don't believe all these things." The gospel is offensive and there will be persecution. But how are you going to stick with it? It is only through the power of the Holy Spirit that brings about this boldness within each and every one of us to stick with it even when the going gets tough. My last point, which is one of the most challenging ones that I have to struggle with as well, is found in Acts chapter 4, verse 23 to 31. It's a lot of verses, so let's read through it. This was the people, okay? This were when Peter and John, after they have been coming out of that hearing with all the elders and rulers, they went back to the people and told them what had happened. And this is what the people responded. When they were released, they went back to their friends, reported what the chief priests and elders had said to them. And when the people heard it, they lifted their voices together to God and said, "Sovereign Lord, who made the heaven and the earth and the sea and everything in them, who through the mouth of our father David, your servant, said by the Holy Spirit, why did the Gentiles rage and the people plot in vain? The kings of the earth set themselves and the rulers were gathered together against the Lord and against his anointed. For truly in this city they were gathered together against your holy servant Jesus, whom you have anointed, both Herod and Pontius Pilate, along with all the Gentiles, all the people of Israel, to do whatever your hand and your plan had predestined to take place. And now, Lord, with all these things that happened, look upon their threats and grant to your servants to continue to speak your word with boldness, while you stretch out your hand to heal, and signs and wonders are performed through the name of your holy servant Jesus." And when they had prayed, the place once again where they gathered was shaken, and they were filled with the Holy Spirit and continued to speak the word of God with boldness. My third point is this: the people caught what Peter and John were doing, and they had the boldness through the Holy Spirit to ask for more. Yes, the good things to ask for more is nice. You got signs, you got wonders, you got miracles that happen. But it doesn't just come that. It encompasses the suffering. It encompasses the persecution, being thrown to jail, being threatened, being beaten. If you read chapter 5 and later on, you see a lot of accounts being stoned to death. But yet, these people had the boldness to ask God for more. The people knew what Peter and John went through, but they had the boldness to pray dangerous prayers. Sometimes we think like the prayer that we ask God, "God, do like this, come and really take over." And there are some times that you need to pray those dangerous prayers. One account that I think of in terms of dangerous prayers is this, that one of my team member in Singapore that I work with, when he was in student days, he was so engrossed with his sports that he kind of like almost left the faith. In his student days, he was so engrossed playing sports that he forgot about who God is. So his mentor and his mentor's wife tried very hard to really bring him back to God. But in the end, they just come to a point where there's that total surrender and prayed a dangerous prayer that says, "God, since he's so engrossed in his sports that he forgot about you, God, I pray that you will break his hip like how you did to Jacob and that he will come back to you." A few months later, this colleague of mine at that time came back to join the Christian Fellowship and said, "Hey, while I was playing, I kind of like injured my hip and now I'm back here." These are dangerous prayers, but because they come to a point that they realize, "I cannot do anything already. I need to totally surrender to God." These are very, very bold prayers to ask for more of these things. Even in Paul's life, if you read in Acts later on, Paul is the one that said this in 2 Timothy 2, verse 1. 2 Timothy 2, chapter 1, verse 8 and 9. He says, "Therefore, do not be ashamed of the testimony about our God, nor of me, his prisoners, but share in the suffering for the gospel by the power of God, who saved us and called us to a holy calling, not because of our works, but because of his own purpose and grace, which he gave us in Christ Jesus before the ages began." And in verse 12, "Which is why I suffer as I do, but I am not ashamed. For I know whom I have believed, and I am convinced that he is able to guard until the day that has been entrusted to me." There is that boldness to go through suffering as well, and to ask of more for it. Why? Not just suffering for suffering's sake, but suffering for Christ's sake. So this is the most challenging, because when you ask God for more, when we ask God in this time that we really want the outpouring of the Holy Spirit, just remember that because there is the outpouring of the Holy Spirit, there will be persecution, there will be suffering that may come with it. But the Holy Spirit is the one that gives you that boldness to then ask for more. Because why? That's what Paul has said. I know whom I have believed, and I am convinced that He is able to guard until that day which has been entrusted to me. So this is the most challenging, because the power of the Holy Spirit brings boldness to ask for more of Him and His glory. In suffering, God's glory is most glorified, because people begin to understand that even in my darkest times, even in the suffering that I'm going through, God is there. And when God brings me out of this, God begins to get all the glory. So these 3 points that we talk about, when the power of the Holy Spirit has come upon you, you will receive power to be His witness. And that when the power comes on you, the power is to give you boldness. Boldness to do it. The next step, boldness to stick to it. And lastly, the boldness to ask for more of it, even when the time is hard. And actually, it just goes on in the cycle. When you have more of it, then begins to start doing it again. When you do it, you stick to it. When you stick to it, you ask God for more of it. So God is not done yet. If you watch our video for the sermon series, God is not done yet. What about you? Are you willing to ask God for this bonus to carry out the mission that He has placed in your life? Let me just pray and commit this time to God. God, I pray that You fill us with Your Holy Spirit. Every single one of us watching here, first of all, Lord, fill us with Your Holy Spirit. We know that it is something that only You can do. It is a gift from God, and it can happen only supernaturally by Your giving. So I pray that every one of us here will be filled with Your Spirit, first of all. Secondly, let us be consumed by Your glory. Let us see how Your kingdom and Your glory is so marvelous that we will be bold to contend, to fight for this kingdom of God, and to bring people, to bring souls into this kingdom. Stir our hearts to be passionate for Your name, regardless of the persecution, regardless of the suffering, the trials, the obstacles that may come along our way. Stir our hearts to be passionate for Your name. And lastly, Lord, grant us the boldness through the Holy Spirit to do what You have called us to do, to stick with it when the going gets tough, and the boldness to ask for more of You, for more of Your glory, even if it means going through that suffering. I pray for every one of us here, including myself, that at times we may cowardly run away from the things that You have called us to do. But as the book of Acts says, and how we've seen Peter and John having this boldness, Lord, let Your Holy Spirit stir within our hearts. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Thank you for tuning in to today's sermon. We trust that you have been blessed. For more sermons like this, do log on to our church website at www.calvary.com.my. Have an amazing week ahead, and may the abundance of the Lord fill you this week.